Hello, friends, and welcome to another special holiday treat as we take another trip back in time to the days when vacuum tubes, not picture tubes, provide us with our daily entertainment. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and I'm delighted you are joining me once again. Christmas Day will soon be upon us, but today's first episode, while a Christmas episode, is not exactly festive. The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe ran for one season from October 20, 1950 until April 27, 1951 on NBC. Based on the famous novels by Rex Stout, the series stars Sidney Greenstreet as Fat Detective Nero Wolfe and various actors as Archie Goodwin, Wolfe's right-hand man. In today's episode, which was first heard at 8 p.m. on Friday, December 22, 1950, Santa pays a visit to Nero Wolfe. The reason? Somebody keeps murdering the Santa Clauses on Carlisle Avenue. Today's story is fittingly titled, Slaughtered Santas.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell means mystery, adventure.
Nero Wolfe's office, Archie Goodwin speaking. Yes? Yes, I know that in 48 hours it's going to be Christmas, but who is this? Who? Look, I'm a big boy now, so... Okay. Tonight at 8. Goodbye.
What the devil was that?
This may come as a shock to you, Mr. Wolfe, but that was Santa Claus.
You've been drinking.
Uh-huh, the usual. Milk. He's coming to see you at 8. He's got a problem.
Indeed.
It seems that some low, not to mention murderous character is going around slaughtering Santa Clauses.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the bulkiest, balkiest, smartest, and most unpredictable detective in the world. That chair-born genius, Nero Wolfe. Created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet.
Earlier than 8, however, the case of the slaughtered Santas. It began, to be precise, on the corner of 34th Street and Carlisle. The hour was close to 6, the weather cold, the sky dark.
How you doing, Santa?
I'm freezing to death, officer.
It's a cold day. You packing up?
Yeah, I guess so. Not many people around anymore.
Oh, heading for home and dinner. How was the collection?
Well, I don't need no armored car, but a few dozen kids are going to have something for their Christmas stockings.
Your competition, the guy in the opposite corner, is already screaming.
Probably got low blood pressure. Yeah, give me a hand to get the collection pot off the chains, eh?
Sure, there you go.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I'll just walk you down the block. Got a phone in.
Okay, fine.
One Santa's still left. Wonder what he's waiting for.
Santa Claus.
Well, watch yourself going down those chimneys tonight, eh?
Sure, sure. Well, I'll cut across the avenue here. Be seeing you.
Hey, that car coming down the street. Got its lights out. Look out!
Hey, Peg.
Huh?
Did I ever tell you I love you?
Oh, it's not me you love. It's a hot soup.
Ah, now you're not the only woman who can cook a dish of soup.
Huh?
It helps, though. I'm just beginning to thaw out.
Yeah, that's a cold corner you play Santa Claus on.
Well, don't hurt to make a few bucks. I ain't done so good this past year. Well, maybe the next year it'll be... Oh, well. Besides, I kind of like it, you know. Kids asking questions all day long.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder how they figure the other two Santas at the intersection.
Our kids think of only one thing at a time. Voices?
Sure, Peg. You know, one of them other Santas got hit with a car tonight.
Oh?
Yeah, packed up a few minutes before I did, started crossing the avenue, and bang. You know, hit-and-run driver.
Oh, gosh, that's too bad. Was he hurt?
Yes, he was killed.
Here's his soup. Oh, with traffic the way it is nowadays. Well, I better take a look at the stew.
Somebody at the door. I'll get it, Peg.
Okay.
Yeah, what?
Mike!
Yes, Archie?
I've been thinking.
Good heavens.
Oh, I admit it won't bring about a national emergency. But, Mr. Wolf, Christmas is only a couple of days away.
If you're hinting about your present...
No. I was just imagining you behind a team of reindeer.
Your imagination is morbid.
You'd make a wonderful Santa Claus.
Really?
You got the perfect build for it. Well, that's for character.
Archie.
Yeah?
Can you picture me scrambling down a chimney?
Well, they might have to build bigger chimneys, but... there's that, too. However...
That is the front door.
True. I was thinking...
Hey, you might see who it is.
Well, if nobody's been lying to me on the phone, that'll be Santa Claus.
Let him in.
But I haven't decided what I want for Christmas yet, Mr. Wolf. For example, should she be blonde or brunette, tall or short?
Archie.
On my way. Good evening.
I dislike dawdling on anyone's doorstep.
Well, stop dawdling. Come in, please.
Mr. Wolf has been warned of my arrival?
He has. Through here. Mr. Wolf, this is Santa Claus?
My name is Barton. John Barton.
How do you do, sir?
I have no time for the social graces, Mr. Wolf. I'm about to be murdered.
Heard in my house, they have objections.
I'm a frightened man, Mr. Wolf.
Me?
This costume you see me in is responsible for it all.
Why are you in it?
I had a notion it might be, well, entertaining to play Santa Claus in public. I'm a wealthy man, sir. I can afford to have whims. Therefore, I have assumed this masquerade. However, it apparently is going to be the death of me.
Mr. Barton, you have adequately conveyed an atmosphere and an emotion. I suggest you concentrate on facts.
Now. Very well. I have been acting as Santa Claus for the Tuberculosis Fund. My station is the corner of 34th Street and Carlisle Avenue. I might add the northeast corner.
Why?
Because at that intersection, there have been two other Santa Clauses. One on the southeast corner and one on the southwest corner.
Three Santa Clauses, then, on three corners.
Yes. Now then, earlier tonight, the man on the southwest corner started home. He was crossing the avenue when he was run down and killed by an automobile.
A regrettable accident.
The car was running without lights. It deliberately ran the fellow down and then vanished. Not an accident, Mr. Wolf.
You saw this yourself?
I did. One Santa Claus dead. The man on the southeast corner got home all right. According to the radio news flash, that's where he was killed. By bullets.
Coincidence?
Possibly, but I wouldn't want to risk my life on the chance.
This is Friday night. In the nature of things, you would have made two more appearances. Very well, Mr. Barton.
I'd write you a check as a retainer, then hurry along home. I'm late now.
No.
I beg your pardon.
You will neither hurry home nor notify anyone at your home of your whereabouts.
But
you remain here until such time as I think it's safe for you to leave. The house is well guarded.
I can't do that.
In which case, I cannot accept you as a client.
I fail to understand.
Mr. Barton, it is very easy to murder someone. Avoiding the consequences of such an action is something else again. However, I'm assuming that you're not primarily interested in what happens to your murderer after you're dead?
Of course not.
Therefore, you remain here. Archie?
Yep?
First, the corner of 34th and Carlisle, a complete report.
But that's nonsense. The corner will be deserted now.
Mr. Barton, you're hiring my intelligence. You therefore permit me to use it as I see fit. A complete report, Archie?
Right, sir.
You will then visit Inspector Kramer at headquarters. You will, in whatever manner you find effective, collect all the police information about the two already murdered Santas.
Fine. The manner, I think, will be applying a blowtorch to the inspector's toes.
Your levity is ill-timed.
The inspector is likely to throw me out of my ear.
Your problem.
My ear.
And on your way home, you might stop in at Mr. Barton's place.
I don't see any purpose in that.
Mr. Barton, there is a basic problem to which we must find an answer. Whether those two men were murdered because they were Santa Clauses or because their deaths were merely preliminaries to yours. Archie, I suggest haste.
Yes, sir.
And avoid blondes.
Hmm?
I would like you to be home in time for Christmas.
much. Yeah?
Got the price of a cup of coffee?
You sure you mean coffee?
Either you're going to dig it up or you ain't. Never mind the questions about my personal affairs, see?
Oh, I apologize. Here.
2 bits. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Don't let me keep you.
You're not. 34th in Carlisle, huh? During the day filled with milling throngs? Hey, that's a nice phrase. You'll have to remember it. Milling throngs. And now, desolate and deserted. Well, that's life.
Is that a fact?
That's philosophy.
Yeah? Well, but 2 bits, I don't have to listen to no philosopher, see? Good night, bud.
Uh-oh. The inspector's got company.
If all you reporters will shut up and ask your questions one by one, I'll answer.
Inspector Kramer, it's true a couple of Santa Clauses have been knocked off tonight?
It's true that 2 men who have been employed as Santa Claus by charitable organizations have been murdered, yes.
Any connection between those 2 guys, or does somebody just hate Santa Claus?
You know, so far as we know, there is no connection.
That means it could be maybe some kind of maniac who decided he doesn't like Christmas or Santa Claus. Is that right?
The department is investigating along those lines.
Like how?
Well, we're checking all the local asylums for possible escape lunatics.
Yeah, but, Inspector, suppose this nut has never been in an asylum.
That'll be all, boys.
Oh, but listen, I said that'll be all now.
Anything new comes in, you'll get it, understand? Hey, good one.
Hello, Inspector.
Yeah, I spotted you coming in. What happened? You decided to reform and got a job on a paper?
Nope. I'm a public-spirited citizen, that's all.
Yeah, I could add a few things to that description with practically no strain at all.
Mr. Wolf and I are very sentimental about Christmas. We object to Santa Claus's being killed.
Nuts.
Oh, Inspector, aren't you in favor of Christmas?
I'm in favor of Christmas. I'm in favor of motherhood.
Leave motherhood out of this. Neither of us are mothers. Our chances of becoming mothers aren't too good either. And furthermore...
Oh, okay, okay. You're not given. So get out of here.
Thank you, Inspector.
But Goodwin, in case Wolf decides to send me something for Christmas, you know what I wish he'd send me?
What?
Your head.
Well.
Oh.
Now I know what I want for Christmas.
What did you say?
I said my name is Goodwin and it's cold on your doorstep.
Oh, I'm sorry. Come in.
Mm-hmm. You didn't mention your name.
I'm Laura Barton.
Mrs. Laura Barton?
No.
Fine. That is, what relation are you to John Barton?
His niece. Why do you ask?
Oh, you've got a beautiful voice. All this marble and no butler?
I don't know where Pleasant is. He should be here.
Have him shot at sunrise.
Oh, Laura.
Wayne, this is Mr. Goodwin.
I never heard of him. What does he want?
Well, I don't know.
Wayne what?
Stevens.
Uh-huh. Friend of Mr. Barton?
Half-brother, but we seem to be doing all the answering. How about your answering some questions, Goodwin?
I'll try.
Come into the library. What do you want?
For Christmas? Erase that. I would like to see Mr. Barton.
He's not home.
Where is he?
Don't you know?
I wouldn't have come here asking for him if I did, would I?
I suppose that's true. What did you want with him?
Conversation.
About?
Anything. You see, I like to talk to rich men. Are you rich?
I can't play the piano either.
You could always learn. But being rich is harder, I found.
Mr. Goodwin, you must have some reason for coming here. Some reason concerning Uncle.
Laura, you're being imaginative.
Well, Uncle is late.
He's probably still on that street corner playing Santa Claus. He enjoys it. Why bother about
I don't know, except...
He's never been as late as this?
Well, no. Not since he started that masquerade of his.
Would you happen to know where the butler is?
Out getting drunk, I suspect. He was in the kitchen a little while ago. Disappeared. Pleasant likes to look on the wine when it's red. Or even when it's rye. No, I take that back.
Oh, you do?
He prefers Irish whiskey. We don't stock it. Therefore...
Oh, too bad. I better run along. Good night, Mr. Stevens. Miss Barton.
Good night.
I'll see you out.
Prettiest butler I ever saw. Blonde. Now, old Dr. Titmouse always said, beware of blonde, because...
Mr. Goodwin,
Well, I'm waiting.
Mr. Goodwin, you must know something about Uncle, something you didn't want to tell us.
Makes you think so.
Well, otherwise, your visit was just pointless.
Let's suppose I know. Now, I might be a kidnapper.
Oh, no.
My honest brown eyes.
Your first name is Archie, isn't it?
Archie? Archie Goodwin. Goes together nicely, don't you think?
You work for Nero Wolf. You're going back to him now?
I might be, but then again, I might be going to the movies.
I recognize you. Your pictures have been in the papers. Take me with you to see Mr. Wolf. You can trust me.
I never trust Blonde.
Oh, that's unfair.
Well, no, I don't trust brunettes either. Furthermore, I'm not sure Mr. Wolf would want to see you, so I... Yeah.
No?
So why don't you, trail me home,
Archie?
Archie? Where's Santa Claus?
Guest room. He was tired.
I've been trailed home.
Indeed?
By a blonde.
Who is?
All right, I admit I didn't make any strenuous effort to shake her off, but she trailed.
Where is she?
Outside.
Good. Your report.
Oh, but she might freeze to death out there.
That's her problem. Your report, Archie.
It's short and simple.
It would be simple.
I haven't got time to resent that. A blonde is dying. As for the report... Corner of 34th and Carlisle is a very quiet spot at night. No one was around, but a bum will get into me for a quarter. For coffee, he said.
You will not put that quarter on the expense account.
Stop worrying. It was a private gesture. There were four corners. Corner number one had a dress shop on it. Corner number two, a drugstore with a beautiful redhead in the window making with a hair rinse. The ad said her name was Noreen, but it didn't give her phone number.
Gee.
Third corner was devoted to a shoe store, and the fourth corner had a bank on it.
A bank?
Kind of thought we'd have a pause at that point. Mean something?
Inspector Kramer's information consisted of...
Oh, you're being coy. Kramer furnished the information the police could find no connection between the two murdered Santas.
Except for the fact that they were both playing Santa Claus.
Well, isn't that a little on the obvious side?
This is an obvious case. The Barton home, aren't you?
Marble and old lace. The butler, his name is Pleasant, was among those missing. Among those present... Laura Barton, the old man's niece, and Wayne Stevens, his half-brother.
Ah.
Yeah, only for Laura. Stevens was not at all pretty.
It was Laura Barton who followed you here.
It was Laura.
Archie, go upstairs.
Oh, now, wait a minute. The girl, the weather, common humanity demands that you have...
Louis, you speak for yourself, not humanity.
I'm human.
On occasion, a debatable point. Very well. Let her in.
Oh, thanks. Laura.
Yes?
Come in. Laura Barton, Mr. Wolf.
How do you do?
How much money do you inherit on the death of your uncle?
What?
That is known as the shock treatment. However, I need an answer.
Oh, uncle isn't dead, is he?
That, for the moment, is irrelevant. How much?
Half his estate.
The other half?
Wayne, uncle's half-brother.
Very well. Archie, would you go upstairs and inform Mr. Barton that his niece is here?
Uncle is here?
On my way.
Yes?
Archie, Mr. Barton.
Come in.
Mr. Wolf would like you to come downstairs.
I suppose he has a reason.
A blonde reason, your niece.
My niece?
That's right. Hey, where'd you get that?
A man of my wealth finds it safer to carry a revolver.
Yeah, but it's not safe to point it at people, especially for the people.
Turn around, Goodwin.
But, Mr. Barton, we're protecting you.
By letting that girl into the house? If I had the time, I'd be amused. As it is.
Archie, you've been drunk.
Good heaven.
Santa Claus came early.
Go ahead.
Which one are you referring to, my own or the one Santa gave me?
You had better sit.
No, I had enough trouble getting up a little while ago. I'm staying out of any positions in which I might have to do that again. Mr. Barton is among the missing.
Indeed.
Hit me on the head and use the back exit. I checked with Fritz in the kitchen on the way here.
He offered a reason for his peculiar behavior?
Laura Barton.
So?
I don't understand. Uncle wouldn't do...
Uncle apparently has. He also would appear fancies himself in costume.
Well, he used to be very much interested in the stage. He acted for a while a long time ago till the family objected.
Archie?
Got it. Vera Wolf's office, Archie Goodwin speaking.
You recite very nicely, Goodwin. This is Kramer. Let me have Wolf, huh?
Mr. Wolf? Inspector Kramer.
Yes, Inspector?
The papers haven't been carrying it, Wolf, but you're working on the Santa Claus case, aren't you?
Possibility?
You didn't send Goodwin down to headquarters on a possibility. Never mind. We're working on a line down here, Wolf. Now, look, if it doesn't strain your professional ethics, you might be able to help.
How?
There's a bank on the corner of 34th Street in Carlisle. We got the thought that suppose a gang was preparing to take that bank tomorrow morning. Those Santa Clauses have been on the corner for nearly a week now. They might have noticed something about the bank's routine, guards or what have you, that could interfere with the gang's plan.
A mighty ingenious and imaginative thought, Inspector.
Hey, you didn't say yes or no.
I have at the moment no opinion.
That's all you're going to give us?
At the moment. However, Inspector, in a very little while, I shall give you the murderer. Archie, Miss Parton will remain here. As for you,
you'll
return to 34th Street and find our coffee-loving friend.
Hmm?
You will persuade him in whatever manner you think best to return here with you.
Huh?
Yes. You know, I think it's possible you may be able to put that quarter on the expense account after all.
You.
What? Oh. Why? I've seen you before.
Yeah, I've learned to love the neighborhood. That's why it's going to break my heart.
What is?
Leaving it with you.
With?
It's sensitive about having guns pulled on me tonight.
Let go of me, will you?
Not until I
tell you that, McGill.
Yeah. Gun looks in a lot better shape than you do. You're coming with me.
Oh, where?
Mr. Wolf would like to see you.
Nero Wolf?
Yeah.
Well, why?
He's trying to salvage a quarter.
Archie.
Uh-huh. Complete with, he wouldn't give his name. He did have a gun to it, though. This one.
Yes. Archie, you know Miss Barton, of course?
Aye.
And Mr. Stevens? He joined us a moment ago. Miss Barton thought she'd be happy if he were here.
Hello, Stevens.
That's not the only reason I came. My brother is still missing. I'm concerned.
Yes. You, sir, will you sit down? Watching people stand makes me uncomfortable.
I don't have to.
You do. Archie is stronger than you are.
All right.
That's better.
If you don't mind, Mr. Wolf, I've never been here before, never met you. But you look as though you could handle things. I think my brother's been kidnapped.
Possibility we should have to consider. Miss Barton, perhaps you have a theory, too?
Well, I don't know. Uncle's been behaving strangely for weeks now.
What way?
Well, I'm not sure. Wayne...
Well, of course, John's always been a little peculiar, but... I'm afraid I saw nothing especially strange outside of this Santa Claus stunt, of course.
I see. Miss Barton, your uncle played Santa Claus all week on one of the corners of 34th Street in Carlisle.
I know.
On two other corners, two other men indulged in the same activity. Those two other men are now dead.
Oh, no.
Well, wait. Mr. Wolf, you mean they were killed by mistake for Barton?
It is true that one man made up of Santa Claus looks very much like any other man similarly costumed. But the answer is no. One of the two men was shot in his home after he had removed his costume.
Well, then, what connection?
Miss Barton, in the event that you wanted to hide a tree, where would you hide it?
Hide a tree? Why, I wouldn't even begin to know.
If you were very clever, you would hide it in a forest. If you wanted to hide a murder and were very clever, you would adopt the same principle.
Wait. You mean that if someone wanted to kill Uncle and didn't want to be suspected, he'd...
Go about murdering several people with an ostensible, if lunatic, reason. He would never say go about killing Santa Claus.
I get it. Then people would think the man he really wanted dead for a special and private reason had been killed for something that didn't point to him.
True. That was why two Santa Clauses were murdered tonight. The third Santa Claus, however, the real object of the murderer's attention, was luckier. Or suspicious. He fled.
Do I have to hang around here and listen to all this?
You do, my unwashed friend. Mr. Barton fled, and the murderer was in a quandary. He had, so to speak, invested in two murders merely to make the third one confusing. But he found himself unable to commit that third murder. He couldn't find his victim. Could he ask the police to do so? Hardly. But he might try to inveigle a private detective such as myself into the job.
That makes sense, Mr. Wolf, but why would my brother have deliberately fled from your house? I mean, he was protected here, so... But Do I make myself clear?
Very clear, Mr. Stephen. Archie, that gun you took from that dirty gentleman, you still have it?
I still have it.
Then would you mind pointing it at Mr. Stevens here until the police remove him?
All right, come along, Stevens.
Well, that's the end of Mr. Stevens. Inspector Kramer will take good care of him from now on. But now, Mr. Wolf, Laura and me and the refugee from a washcloth over here would still like to know how and why and who was involved.
I knew two people had a motive for John Barton's death. Laura Barton and Wayne Stevens. One of them proceeded to kill Santa Clauses in the hope that the police would assume those killings to be the work of a lunatic.
The paper certainly hopped on that assumption.
Yes. However, John Barton, aware that his life was in danger, escaped his murderer and hid.
In this house?
No. A man in Santa Claus costume came here and said he was Barton. However, he was an obvious imposter. He proved that by his flight when his niece came here.
You mean he could fool you, but he knew he wouldn't be able to fool me, so...
Precisely, therefore, was not Barton. Who was it? Who else had disappeared at the propitious moment?
The butler, Pleasant.
True. I distrust coincidence. Stevens needed an accomplice, hence he sent Pleasant here.
And Pleasant would give you a song and dance about Barton's danger and then scram. You'd start investigating, discover Barton was missing, try to find him, and lead Stevens to his victim, huh?
I frustrated that part of the plan by insisting on Pleasant's remaining here, which he did until...
That part of it's fine. But how did you choose between Laura and Stevens?
It was Stevens who knew, without being told, that Barton had been in his house and had fled from it.
Yeah, you yourself mentioned that Stevens had only been here a moment, so you hadn't told him.
Obviously, the butler phoned him as soon as he had hit you over the head and escaped. Furthermore, the butler masquerading as Barton had attempted to throw suspicion on Miss Barton. That convinced me of our innocence.
Well, you've done it again, Mr. Wolf, except for one minor detail.
You're not very successful at irony, Archie. What minor detail?
Where is Barton?
In this house.
Huh? When did that happen?
You arrived home with the gentleman sitting near you.
The bum? Wait a minute. This I ought to be able to figure out myself. Laura said Barton used to be an actor. That's item one, huh?
Yes, Archie.
Also, why is a supposed tramp hanging around a deserted intersection for handouts? The answer is he wasn't. He was keeping an eye out for trouble he knew was after him. Oh, so it turns out I gave a quarter to a millionaire.
Uncle? Your uncle? Well, that is...
I know, my dear. Yes, I'm uncle. I did rather a decent job, didn't I? No one recognized me. Except, of course, you, Mr. Wolf.
Not recognition, Mr. Barton. Logic. Archie, open some beer for us.
Yes, sir.
Logic, eh? Well, whatever it was, Mr. Wolf, I owe you a good deal. How can I ever repay you?
Oddly enough, the answer is simplicity itself. Make out a check.
I've been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Larry Dobkin as Archie Goodwin, and Howard McNear, Grace Lenard, Vic Rodman, Herbert Butterfield, Bill Johnstone, Gene Bates, and Bob Bruce. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Bashful Body. Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
Well, Nero Wolfe sure made short work of that mystery. You just heard Sly Santos from The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe. The episode stars Sidney Greenstreet as Nero Wolfe and was first heard the evening of Friday, December 22, 1950 on NBC. Next, we're going to hear from the juvenile series Wild Bill Hickok. Wild Bill Hickok ran on radio from May 27, 1951 until December 31, 1954 on Mutual. The series followed the same format as other westerns like Hopalong Cassie and The Cisco Kid in that there was a fearless hero, accompanied by a comic sidekick. U.S. Marshal Hickok was the hero. His big belly partner Jingles was the comic sidekick. In today's episode, titled Sir Tommy the Silver Knight, Hickok and Jingles were finishing up a Christmas Eve dinner at the house of some friends when strange things began to happen. The episode was first heard the evening of Sunday, December 21st, 1951, on Mutual. Enjoy.
Opening number one, take three.
Wild Bill Hickok! Hiya, folks. Hold on to your hats and pass those Kellogg sugar corn pops. Because here comes Guy Madison as Wild Bill and his pal Jingles, which is me, Andy Devine. I said sugar corn pops because that's what we're calling them now instead of just corn pops. Yes, sir, we got another rootin' tootin' Wild Bill Hickok adventure story for you from that great new cereal with the sweetening already on it. Remember now, it's Kellogg's sugar corn pops.
Kellogg's Sugar Corn Pops brings you Wild Bill Hickok, transcribed in Hollywood and starring Guy Madison as Wild Bill and Andy Devine as his pal Jingle. When Christmas time came, United States Marshal Wild Bill Hickok and his saddle partner Jingles had many invitations to spend the holidays with friends all over the West. One year, they elected to accept an invitation from John and Mary Duncan and their young son, Tommy. It was just as they were finishing supper on Christmas Eve that strange things began to happen, which were to lead Wild Bill and Jingles into a terrifying yet wonderful adventure with Sir Tommy, the Silver Knight.
Ooh, that sure was a wonderful spread, Mrs. Duncan. You know, I just about forgot how good home cooking tasted.
You're right, Jingles.
Well, we're mighty glad you could get here for Christmas, aren't we, John?
Oh, you bet we are, Mary. Well, where are you going, Tommy?
May I be excused, Dad? It's getting late, so I better get started.
But, Tommy, don't you want to sit up a little while longer?
Mother, this is Christmas Eve. Good night, everybody.
You mean that little scallywag just up and goes to bed without an argument?
Yes, on Christmas Eve, he always does.
I guess they all do that on Christmas Eve. They figure it pays off on Christmas Day.
Yeah. Santa Claus knows when they've been good little boys. I remember I used to do the same thing.
Well, with Tommy, it's a little different. It's
John.
Not... Yes, Mary?
I don't think we ought to talk about it, do you?
Oh, now, Mary, don't you go getting all upset again this year.
Is something wrong, Mrs. Duncan?
You thinking Tommy's sick or something?
No, it's a long story.
Oh, John. There it is. I was hoping this year would be different.
Easy, Mary.
Hey, what's going on here, Bill?
Take it easy, Jingle.
Open up, John Duncan. You know why I'm here.
Now, who's that bellowing like a wounded bear?
That's Floyd Grudge from the next ranch. Come to collect his shares from me. Tommy calls him old greedy.
It's about time.
Evening, Mr. Grudge. Come in and welcome.
You know I ain't welcome. Just give me my money that's coming to me and I'll go.
Here you are. I've been expecting you.
Sure you have. Always come on Christmas Eve, don't I? Kind of spoils your Christmas, don't it?
I'll go see if Tommy's asleep.
All right, dear. Come in, Mr. Grudge.
No, I ain't coming in. And something else, Duncan. You keep that kid of yours home tonight. I got my shotgun. If I see him wandering around my place all dressed up in that shiny armor tonight, I ain't going to be responsible for what happened to him.
Every Christmas the same thing.
Now, what did he mean by that? Shining armor and...
Shh, Jingles. Here comes Mary.
Oh.
It's all right, John. I heard Mr. Grudge.
I wouldn't go worrying about it, ma'am. We'll see that nothing happens to Tommy.
Bill, I feel so much better now that you and Jingles are here. Maybe this year... Oh, I wish I could understand it all. Right now, Tommy's just lying there, eyes wide open and fierce like he wasn't there at all. Tommy!
Bill!
Mother!
It's Tommy. Come on.
Tommy! Son, what were those shots?
It's all right, Mother. Old Greedy Grudge must have thought he saw something.
Then why did you call me?
I wanted to talk to Wild Bill and Jingles. Could they stay with me for a little?
Well, we sure could, youngster.
John, is he all right?
Sure he is, Mrs. Duncan. You and Mr. Duncan go on to bed. Jingles and I'll take care of him.
Well, all right.
Thanks, Bill. Come on, Mary.
Night, Mother. Night, Dad. Don't you worry. We'll be back early.
Good night, son.
And good luck, son.
Now, young fellow, what's on your mind?
But, Bill, are you forgetting those shots outside? We ought to go find out about them.
I don't think so, Jingles. Somehow I feel that our business is right here.
Don't worry about the shots, Jingles. Now listen to me. I haven't got much time.
Oh, sure.
Where are you going in such a big hurry, Tommy?
To Shadowland, deep inside people's hearts.
Huh? How do you get there?
You'll see if you're game to go with me.
Oh, sure. We're game for anything.
Well, I'm asking you man to man because I need your help.
Help for what? Go on, spill it, youngster.
Yeah, you got me all over goosebumps.
Well, I've got a dangerous job to do before sunup, and I'm counting on you. But you got to remember, we may not get back alive.
Huh? Oh.
Gosh, but this is a good story for Christmas time, isn't it, kids? Well, just because Wild Bill and Jingles are giving out with a special kind of adventure doesn't mean I got to sit here and not say Merry Christmas, does it? No, sirree, sir. I'm going to say it, too. Just you wait. Only I got a couple of real smart tips for you youngins who want to be sure Christmas is even extra good this year. Listen now and see if you don't agree with old Panhandle Jim. First, lots and lots of folks decorate their trees Christmas Eve. That's sure good family fun, too. Stand around handing up the ornaments to Mom or Pop up there in the ladder. But say, kids, start handing up some of those delicious, mouth-watering Kellogg sugar corn pops. Zowie, will the family go for them. Right out of the box. Sure, let Sis string some for decorations, too, if she can keep you from eating them. Boy, they sure are good. Break out a box or two. Kellogg sugar corn pops. Yes, sir, that's Kellogg sugar corn pops. For the happiest, merriest Christmas Eve ever. Well, guess my time's just about out for right now. But I got more Christmas news for you, and I'll bring it to you right after Guy and Andy get this situation straightened out a bit. Now, back to Wild Bill Hickok.
Wild Bill Hickok and Jingles, spending the Christmas holidays at the ranch home of John and Mary Duncan, received a strange request for help from little 10-year-old Tommy Duncan. He asked them to go with him on a dangerous mission to Shadowland, which he says is deep within the hearts of people. They agreed, and Tommy began giving them their orders.
We'll have to leave right away. I'm already late. You're both ready to go?
Sure thing, Tommy. Anytime you say.
Yeah, I'm raring to get started.
All right. Now, to get through the pass, you have to say my bedtime prayers with me.
Okay.
You say it after me. I thank thee, Lord, for this day.
I thank thee, Lord, for this day.
I had a fine time at work and play.
I had a fine time at work and play.
I tried to be good and do what was right.
I tried to be good and do what was right.
Here we go now. Please stay with me, Lord, all through the night.
Please stay with me, Lord, all through the night. Bill, we made it.
We sure did, partner. What now, Tommy?
You must call me Sir Tommy here, Wild Bill. I'm the Silver Knight of Shadowland.
Okay, Sir Tommy. Lead on. We'll follow.
Here we are at the gatehouse.
What ho! Who comes there? Hold. It's Sir Tommy, the Silver Knight.
Yes. Where are the horses?
Bill, it's Tommy's father.
Who are these strangers you bring to Shadowland, Sir Tommy?
Wild Bill Hickok.
And Jingles, don't you know us?
Shh. In Shadowland, Dad is the keeper of the gate and guards it against evil things, like bad habits and mean temper and such.
Oh, I see. Hey, there's Joker.
Here are your mounts, Sir Tommy, and here are your weapons.
Hey, and there's Buckshot. Steady, boy. Ooh.
All people of Shadowland, now hear this.
Sir Tommy, the Silver Knight, has returned to do battle with the Giant of Greed, who lives in the Valley of Hate. He has come to rescue the Christmas Lady from the Giant's Tower.
Hey, Sir Tommy, listen to that. They're all behind you.
Shh, Jingles.
Oh.
Pray for Sir Tommy's good luck. For if the Giant of Greed is not killed before midnight and taken out of people's hearts this Christmas Eve, then the Christmas Lady will remain a prisoner, and tomorrow will be a sad day for the world.
All right, mount your horses. Here's my horse.
Hey, Bill, would you look at Sir Tommy's horse, all white and sparkly.
Boy, that's sure some horse.
His name is Stardust. You ready?
You said it.
All right, we're riding for the Valley of Hate. Let's go, Stardust.
I have a shot.
Come, Joker, you heard what Sir Tommy said. Ha, ha, ha!
We're coming in the Valley of Hate.
Hey, Bill, this is an awful place. It's worse than Death Valley and an African jungle put together.
Not a very pleasant place at that.
All right, stop your horses.
Ooh, Buckshot, easy now.
Oh, Joker, and watch your step. I don't want to get set afoot in a place like this. Who are all these mean-looking critters, Sir Tommy?
They're all greedy demons.
What are we stopping for?
We have to leave our horses here and walk the rest of the way.
Oh, now, Sir Tommy, I ain't much on walking anyway, but wading through these hateful-looking critters don't sound very good to me at all.
Just stay close to me and they won't hurt you. I'll be sure you don't talk to any of the demons.
Oh, well, okay, if you say so.
Lead on, Sir Tommy. We're with you.
Well, well. Hello, Jingles.
Huh? Oh, well, howdy. Oh, Bill.
Yeah. Don't be afraid of me, Jingles.
Afraid? I'm not afraid at all.
Don't talk to him, Jingles.
Ah, but Jingles, I have some nice things for you. Some nice candy.
Candy?
And chop.
Pork chops.
And gallons of pink lemonade.
Well, now I just might have a little piece of that old candy.
No, Jingles, don't.
Why, sure you will. Here. Right fresh from my palace of temptation.
No, Jingles, don't take it.
Oh, go ahead. Take a bite. It won't hurt you.
Don't do it, Jingles.
Oh, now, just one little old bite of candy's not going to hurt me. There, you see? Mmm, that's good.
Now he's done it.
He's gone, Sir Tommy. I got my partner.
Yeah, the demon of temptation got him. Now I'll have to take time to rescue him from the dungeon.
Where's that?
Come on. They caught me with that trick 2 years ago on Christmas Eve. I know where to find him. Follow me. Now be quiet, Wild Bill. He's right behind these bars.
Oh, woe is me. I gave in to that demon of temptation, and now look what I've done. Oh.
Jingles. Hey, Jingles. Can you come to the window?
Hey, Bill, is that you? Oh, you found me. Thank goodness. Can you get me out of here, Bill?
We can try.
Don't make so much noise, Jingles, or that demon will hear us.
I hear you already, Sir Tommy. And you're not taking my prisoner away from me.
Stand back, you sneaking coyote. You lay a hand on Sir Tommy and you'll answer to me.
Bill, he's got a gun.
Yeah.
Oh, you got him, Bill.
Now get me out of here.
All right, Jingles. I'll get you out. You just do what I say.
Okay, but say it quick before any more monsters come down here.
All right. Say this. From now on, I will be a good boy.
Huh? Oh, from now on, I will be a good boy.
And I will not yield to temptation again.
And I will not yield to temptation again. Look, the walls are falling out. Thank you. you, Sir Tommy, for saving me.
Yeah, and you'd better watch your step from now on, partner.
Oh, I will. Cross my heart and hope to choke, I will.
Okay. We're coming to old Greedy's castle now.
Holy jumping horny toads, Bill. Look at it, would you?
It sure is a big one.
And the walls are slimy and slippery. Woof. All brown and green. That sure is a mean-looking place.
How are we going to get inside to rescue the Christmas ladies, Sir Tommy?
I know the secret entrance. I found it last Christmas Eve.
Oh, Sir Tommy, is that you?
There's a Christmas lady up there in the tower.
Hey, Sir Tommy, she looks just like your mother.
Christmas lady? I have brought some friends to help me rescue you from old Greedy.
Hurry, Sir Tommy. It is almost midnight, and the world is waiting for a happy Christmas.
We are coming right now, Christmas lady. But first we must slay the giant.
May God be with you, Sir Tommy.
Come on, Wild Bill and Jingles, through the secret entrance.
We're right with you, Sir Tommy.
Hey, it's dark in here.
It's always dark inside somebody's heart when they're greedy.
You're right about that, Sir Tommy.
So, I see the Silver Knight is back to try his hand in battle against me. Me, the Giant of Greed.
Yes, old Greedy. I have come to fight you and rescue the Christmas lady from the tower of your castle.
Hey, Bill. Ain't he a mean-looking critter? Oof.
Just about as mean as you'll ever see, Jingles.
Well, you puny little shrimp, you'll never get to me, let alone to the Christmas lady. Oh, my demons! Come out and destroy this little upstart!
Watch out! Here comes his demons!
Jingles, you take him on the right. I'll take him on the left.
Look out behind you, Bill.
I see him.
They may get us, but we'll go down fighting.
You'll never get out of the Palace of Greed alive, Sir Tommy. And neither will Jingles or Wild Bill Hickok.
That low-down sidewinder.
And this Christmas, nobody's going to be happy. I'll see to that. They'll all be too greedy to have any Christmas at all.
I guess there's always going to be people like Mr. Grudge. And I guess there'll always be temptations, too. If only all our temptations could be toward good things. Things that are good for you. That's one thing sure about Kellogg's Sugar Corn Pops. Sure, they're good and they're good for you. But I was going to give you another Christmas tip, wasn't I? Yes, sir, here it is. By the time Mom and Pop and you young'uns are up and ready to open your presents Christmas morning, there's too much blamed excitement for breakfast, isn't that right? Well, sir, you try this. You tell Mom to set out a couple of boxes of Kellogg's Sugar Corn Pops last thing before she goes to bed Christmas Eve. By golly, maybe she better set one out for Santa, too. Everybody likes them, right out of the box. They're swell even without milk, and you never add sugar. It's already right on them. Remember Kellogg's Sugar Corn Pops. Well, partners, that's about all, except I want to say thanks for the nicest present we could get. You're listening every week to Wild Bill Hickok. Yes, sir, and I'm speaking for Guy Madison himself and old Andy Devine, Charlie Lyon, and all the folks here at the studio, right on back to the folks at Battle Creek where they make Kellogg's Sugar Corn Pops. Yes, sir, thanks for being with us, and, well, doggone, just have the very merriest Christmas you ever did have, will you?
Sir Tommy, the Silver Knight of Shadowland, and Wild Bill and Jingles reached the stairs inside the castle of Old Greedy the Giant. Then they were attacked by all the giant's demons. As they fought their way up the stairs, the giant stood on a balcony way above them and called threats down to them.
You will fail again, Sir Tommy! Nobody can kill the greed in people's hearts.
I'll show you. Put them off, Bill and Jingles. I'm going after old Greedy.
No, wait, Sir Tommy. We'll all go.
Yeah, let me get ahead. Now, all together.
How are you coming, Jingles?
Fine. Now get out of here, you pink and black salamander.
Good work. We've got them on the run.
Hooray! They're running. running away and leaving the giant all alone.
Oh, come back here, you demons! No, no, Sir Tommy. Don't come up those stairs any closer.
I'm coming after you, old greedy.
No, stay back.
Sir Tommy, how about let me take care of this vomit for you?
No, Bill. You and Jingles have helped me enough. From here on, it's my battle.
Bill, did you ever see such a fighter?
No, partner, I never did. All right, Sir Tommy, go get him. We'll stand by if you need any help.
Okay. I'm coming for you, old greedy.
No, no, get away from me. No, no, Sir Tommy. Stand back.
It took me 5 years to get to you, old greedy. Now, fight. Take that for spoiling Christmas last year.
Oh.
And take that for the year before.
Oh.
And for keeping the Christmas lady in the tower. Take that.
Oh, the balcony. I'm
licked that great big giant all by himself. Old Greedy's dead. Now nobody's going to be greedy anymore.
Here, he dropped the key. Let's go find the Christmas lady.
Yeah. She ought to be in one of these tower rooms.
Oh, Sir Tommy. Here I am. Sir Tommy.
I hear her calling you, Sir Tommy.
Tommy. Tommy. Tommy. Wake up, Tommy. It's Christmas. Tommy, come on, son. Well, look at here.
What? Oh.
Hey, Bill, the sun's up.
Well, it certainly is, you sleepyheads. Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas, Mrs. Duncan.
Morning, Mom.
Morning, Tommy. Bill, did you and Jingle sleep right here on the foot of Tommy's bed all night?
I reckon we must have, ma'am. I don't remember going to sleep.
Well, all three of you go and wash up for breakfast. And hurry, John and I have some wonderful news for you.
Now, Matt, we're all ready for that good news.
Yeah, we washed and shined our faces and ears. Let's hear it.
What is it, Mom?
Oh, now you three boys hold your horses. Go ahead, Mary, tell.
Oh, it's just too good to be true.
Well, if you don't tell us pretty quick, ma'am, I'm going to pop with curiosity.
Sheesh, me too.
Well, when we came into the living room to look at the tree this morning, there was a letter hanging on it.
A letter? Who from?
Yeah, what did it say?
Hold it, Jingles. Give her a chance.
Well, gee whiz.
Me too. Who's it from?
Yeah.
From Mr. Grudge next door.
Oh.
And this is what it says. The Silver Knight was right. It don't pay to be greedy. So I'm figuring all the shares you gave me paid up the price of your ranch. The deed is in this letter. The land is all yours, free and clear. Merry Christmas to all. Now, isn't that a wonderful Christmas present?
And he left that letter here during the night?
Well, I reckon he did. What do you think of that, Tommy? We got our own ranch now, free and clear.
Hey, Dad, that's the best news I ever heard. He's not old greedy Grudge anymore, is he?
No, son. The greed is gone from his heart.
That's real good news.
I wonder what made him change his mind.
Yeah. You know, that might be right interesting to know, wouldn't it?
Sure would. And by the way, Jingles, how'd you sleep last night?
Well, I thought I slept all right, Bill, but, well, I'm tired enough this morning to have fought myself halfway around the world.
Me too.
I must have had a real active nightmare. But everything sure looks rosy this morning, and I'm just busting to say, Merry Christmas, everybody!
And now, here are the stars of Wild Bill Hickok, Guy Madison, and Andy Devine.
And I'd like to wish all our friends a very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season.
And that goes for me, too, Guy, and for all the rest of the folks on the Wild Bill Hickok Show.
Meanwhile, Andy and I also hope you'll remember to get Kellogg's Sugar Corn Pops.
Right. That's Kellogg's Sugar Corn Pops. The cereal you used to know as Corn Pops. The great new cereal with the sweetening already on it.
You bet it is. Andy and I think sugar corn pops are great. So long.
See you next week.
Yes, sir, be sure to listen when Kellogg's Sugar Corn Pops brings you another exciting story of Wild Bill Hickok. starring Guy Madison and Andy Devine in person. Today's cast included Virginia Gregg, Forrest Lewis, Lou Merrill, Jeffrey Silver, and Jack Moyles. Our director is Paul Pierce, music by Dick Orant. This is Charlie Lyon reminding you, kids love Pops, moms love Pops, Pops love Pops, Kellogg's Sugar Corn Pops.
To admit that last story was one of the most unusual Christmas stories I've heard on radio or television, but the miraculous softening of Mr. Grudge's heart is a beautiful ending to our holiday story. Our tale was titled Sir Tommy the Silver Knight from the series Wild Bill Hickok. It starred Guy Madison as Wild Bill, and you no doubt recognize the voice of Andy Devine as Jingles. It was first heard on Christmas Eve 1951 on Mutual. We have a little bit of time to spare, so I thought I would spin Perry Como's version of Here We Come A-Carolin' before I wrap things up. I hope you enjoy this song by this great singer.
Here we come a-caroling among the leaves so green. Here we come a-wandering so fair to be seen. Love and joy come to you, and to you glad Christmas too. And God bless you and send you a happy new year. And God send you a happy new year. We are not daily beggars that go from door to door, but we are friendly neighbors whom you have seen before. Love and joy come to you, and to you glad Christmas too. And God bless you and send you a happy new year. And God send you a happy new year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Good tidings to you wherever you are. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas
and a Happy New Year.
What a great way to wrap up another Christmas broadcast of Old Parlor Radio. That was Perry Como singing Here We Come A-Carolin'. Before I go, I'll pass along my contact details. My email address is opr@telus.net, T-E-L-U-S, and my mailing address is Old Parlor Radio, 2880 15th Avenue, Prince George, B.C., Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. From the CFAS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week, and please remember the less fortunate this Christmas.